Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. So as we know, this week we have another special Parsha, special Shabbos. In addition, of course, to the double Parsha of Vayakil and Pekudei, it's also Shabbos Mevarchim Nisan, which is known as Shabbos HaChodesh. So it is a very special Parsha, a special Shabbos. And in addition, this year happens to be that Rosh Chodesh will fall out on Sunday, so Shabbos, Erev Rosh Chodesh, there are even more additional changes to the Pentagon custom. There are certain differences, that additions that are added on to the Haftorah for Shabbos HaChodesh, which again is already unique. So, there are various things that are brought up in the regular Parsha, again, it's double Parsha of Vayakil and Pekudei, that are related to the assembly and disassembly of the Mishkan, and who was in charge of building the Mishkan, and the construction process, as well as the different pieces, the donations, various pieces, ideas that they're not all new ideas, but the actual physical construction begins in the Parsha. And it's an interesting idea. I remember when I was, before I go any further, I want to, of course, mention that this week our learning is once again Refuah Shleima of Zev Ben Leah, Dr. Zev Zelenko, as well as anyone else who needs to have a Refuah Shleima. We're constantly reminded that the pandemic, among other things, is still going on around us, even as there are various locations that are opening up more and more, changes in government guidelines that may be in your area. But, you know, even just this 2 days ago, I found out about a former, the spouse of a former Talmud of mine who is in critical condition, Baruch Hashem, doing somewhat better now than earlier in the week, but we just need to keep in mind that despite the fact that things are getting back to normal, in some ways that we're still in a terrible situation with the global pandemic, and so we should just keep that in mind as well. Anyway, so back to what I was saying. One of the things, again, that's very interesting, to me at least, about the Parsha, is how much time is spent speaking about the Mishkan. And you know, we see not just about the physical, what was donated by the Bnei Yisrael to go into the Mishkan, but who was in charge of building it. And we look in, it's Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed, beginning over there, that Vayomer Moshe Bnei Yisrael Reu Kara Hashem B'Shem B'Tzalel Ben Uri Ben Chor L'Mate Yehuda, that you know Moshe said to Bnei Yisrael, look, Hashem specifically determined that B'Tzalel Ben Uri Ben Chor of Shevet Yehuda was appointed to be the head foreman, the craftsman, that Hashem has given the Ruach Kodesh in order to help build and oversee the building of the Mishkan. You know, and Rashi on the pasuk has one small note that's on Chor that Benash Shel Miriam, that he was the son of Miriam. And you know, again, that is further that we see in pasuk Lamed Dalid that pasuk says, Loris Nasan Belivo who Eliyav bin Achisamach Lematidan, right? That he also given the ability him to be able to teach with Eliyav the bin Achisamach of Shevet Dan. So it wasn't just Bezalel that was in charge, but he had his top lieutenant, so to speak, was Eliyav, and he came from Shevet Dan. And again, Rashi speaks about from the fact is from Shevet Dan, one of the lowliest, so to speak, of the Shvatim, because that's one of the Shechaos. But Hashem saw that it was important to make an equal status for the construction of the Mishkan, for Bezalel, was from actually Yehuda, one of the greater of the Shvatim, as well as even with Eliel from or the lower Shvatim, that everyone was important and everyone was on equal footing in certain ways. Again, I just bring this up as an example to say that it's very interesting to me, once again, that so much time is spent on every minute detail regarding the construction of the Mishkan. And I can think back, I remember that when I was in elementary school, the school was growing and there wasn't enough space in the building, so they had put out portable classrooms and trailers. And, you know, they were intended to be a temporary measure. It was a good idea, you know, that they were relatively comfortable as far as, you know, classrooms to be. And it functioned fine for a short-term solution. But needless to say that I haven't been back to my elementary school in several decades at this point. But the last time I heard, they still had these temporary classrooms there. As much as they'd like to expand, there isn't always a budget. It's not always feasible to do. So again, we see in the parsha so much time spent on building the Mishkan, which was a temporary portable house, for so to speak, for Hashem's Shekhinah. B'nai Yisrael carried it with them, as we know, for the 40 years that they were in the Midbar. It was a place to offer korbanos. It was a place for the B'nai Yisrael to experience an unparalleled level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was the place where Moshe Rabbeinu communicated peh-al-peh with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a temporary structure that was dismantled every time the B'nai Yisrael left for a journey, and reassembled every time that they went to the next location. At the time that Mishkan was built, it wasn't supposed to be in use for 40 years. As we know, that the B'nai Yisrael were supposed to leave Har Sinai and go straight to Eretz Yisrael. The decree of going to wander in the Midbar for 40 years only came later, as we know, as a result of the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies, then resulted in needing to wander around for 40 years. So the temporary Mishkan was now used for longer than it was planned. When the B'nai Yisrael finally entered their permanent home in Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted them to build a permanent structure to replace the Mishkan. And that, of course, was the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And it took quite a while until Shlomo HaMelech finally replaced the Mishkan. In the meantime, the temporary Mishkan was still in commission even longer. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, we see in Sefer Melachim Aleph, in Perek Hay and Perek Vav, that he spent 7 years building a huge and magnificent building. The psukim describe in great detail how large and seemingly permanent the structure was, but unfortunately, due to our chataim, our averus, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't really permanent, and neither was the second one. And as we know, we are still waiting for the third one, which Yirmit Hashem will be speedily in our days. That one will be, because our Nevi'im say, will be permanent. So we have two versions of a dwelling place for Hashem in the world. One, of course, is the temporary Mishkan, and the other is the permanent Beis HaMikdash. Which one does Hashem want more? Even though temporary buildings are often used longer than they're originally intended for, at the end of the day, they are still temporary. No one would choose a temporary structure over a permanent one. Given the choice, no one would set up a house designed to be temporary with the intention of using it permanently. Look, on Sukkot, we move out of our permanent homes to go into a temporary structure, and while we enjoy Sukkot and we enjoy spending time in the sukkah, we're happy to go back inside, especially when we're in climates where they're either very hot or very cold. It's nice to be able to go back indoors. However, this begs the question, if the Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate and permanent dwelling place for the Shekhinah, why does the Torah devote so much time and space to the construction of the Mishkan, as well as all of the details about who's in charge of doing what? in Sefer Shmos, there are approximately 13 chapters that are completely devoted to describing the building of the Mishkan. In Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, we have the detailed instructions, and this week, again, in Yaakov Pekudei, we read about the same details again when Bnei Yisrael actually carry out the instructions by building it. And we note that some of the details relate to the building of the Kelim that were used in both the Mishkan and the permanent base of Migdash. But there are many words that the Torah uses that are devoted to building of a temporary structure. And we know that the Derech Klal, Hashem doesn't end up to have extra words in the Torah. So why would the Torah end up to spend so much time, so much space, talking about a temporary building? What is Hashem trying to teach us? To suggest an answer to this question, we should explore the differences between a permanent structure and a temporary one. They each have an important advantage and disadvantage. A permanent structure is always there. It's reliable, it's sturdy, but on the other hand, its very permanence may come at a price. If something's always there, it can be chas v'shalom taken for granted. Even though the Beit HaMikdash was such a holy place, if people feel too familiar there, they may start to treat it as being less special. On the other hand, the Mishkan is only temporary. It's here today and gone the next. And that's its disadvantage. But on the other hand, it's temporary. Nature gives it the feeling of newness, freshness, and excitement. Of course, the permanent structure is more ideal. But perhaps we can suggest that Hashem wants us to build a permanent structure that retains the characteristics of a temporary one, one that is not taken for granted or treated lightly, one that's appreciated and loved. Perhaps that's why the Torah devotes so much space to detailing the construction of the Mishkan. A similar idea can be seen in relation to the psukim that we say when wrapping tefillin around our fingers. The tefillin represent the unique relationship between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the straps of tefillin are like a wedding ring. As we wrap the ring around our finger, we recite some beautiful psukim from Sefer Hosea, specifically from Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph to Chaf Beis, and they contain language of marriage. The first pasuk says, "I will betroth you to me forever." The word betroth refers to the first stage of marriage, kedushin or nisuin, a temporary state before a husband and wife become fully married. And this is somewhat akin to the concept of engagement, but there are significant halachic differences. I should mention as well that it used to be that there was approximately a year between the time the kedushin took place and the time the erusin took place, the two different parts of the marriage. Today, it all takes place on one day within the matter of a few minutes or at the most an hour or so, but it's usually less than that. Anyway, however, the pasuk refers to a betrothal forever. This seems to be a contradiction. Betrothal is temporary. Marriage, Emir Hashem, is permanent. However, the excitement and the intense emotion associated with the temporary state of betrothal, of engagement at the time of being engaged, can be much stronger than that associated with the permanent state of marriage. When reciting this pasuk, we are declaring that we want to have an eternal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we also want to retain all the passion and excitement of a new relationship. These days, as we know, we don't have the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. But we do have the Mikdash Ma'at, the small Mikdash, which are our shuls. Unfortunately, as we know, this past year, we have lost access to them. some people longer than others. Some people still are not able to go. Some people have returned already a while ago. But even so, it's still not normal. I can say that when this is something that I do every day when I'm davening in shul, since the pandemic the part of the pandemic that took us away from shul has now let us come back in, that I say as a special tefillah, thank you Hashem for allowing me to daven with a minyan in shul. Something we took for granted only a little more than a year ago. We can't take it for granted anymore. Well, maybe now that we're regaining access, we can implement this lesson by making sure that we don't, any of us, take our shuls for granted. There's a number of halachas on this issue that deserve shir on their own, but at a very high level, we should make an effort to avoid acting in a frivolous or light-headed manner in shul. Any discussions that don't relate to Torah or Tzila really should be saved for outside the shul. You look in the Shulchan Aruch or Achaim, Simin Kuf Nun Aleph for more details about these halachas and other related halachas. When entering the shul each day, we should remember to recite the special psukim that describe the kedusha and awe that we should feel and pay attention to the meaning of the words. We can also apply this same lesson to our relationships. Unfortunately, in our lives, the people that we see most often are the people we can take for granted. We should work hard to remember the excitement that we had when the relationship first began, try to hold on to those feelings. Pausing before we interact with someone and contemplating this idea for a moment can make a big difference. It may involve some hard work, but if we're at least able to be aware of this issue, then we've taken a positive step. Our hearts and our relationships can then be like the Mishkan, which retains the freshness and excitement of a temporary dwelling. Amir Tashem, we should remember as well that this state of galus that we are in is only temporary. While we're here, we should do what we can to take excitement from the fact that we're able to do things, but also not take it for granted that this is where we're supposed to be. Mirtz Hashem, by keeping in mind the ideal of looking at our, in this way, of seeing things as temporary, giving excitement to our lives, helps to drive us to be more, having more kavana in the mitzvahs that we're doing, the davening that we're doing, and just give us a little extra push to have an extra excitement that Amir Hashem should help to bring the end to not only this magefa that we have been struggling with, but the galus in general. And there should be that we should return to Eretz Yisrael with the building of Bayis Shlishi, which will be permanent. But we should hopefully, when that happens, as well, keep a freshness and a newness of our appreciation towards the Beis HaMikdash when we return there. I wish everyone a good Shabbos and a good Chodesh.